morning. Today's reading is Deuteronomy 8:1-20. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles available in the back. And if you are ready for one of those, it's on page 1-22. Please stand for reading with God's word. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. My name is Isaiah. If you haven't met me yet, I'm a pastoral apprentice here and really grateful for Pastors Nathan and Theo for allowing me to come up here and share God's word. And I would also like to be the very first person in your life to wish you a happy new year. No one knew what would happen 5 years ago when we called it the chaos of 2020. As we were celebrating New Year's, we were still going to schools, still going to work, churches, concerts, social events, the stores were still open. And no one knew that just within a few weeks of time, the whole world would turn upside down. Kids were sent home from school. Families no longer went to work, some of them without even pay. Family members began to get sick. Our isolation stirred up our anxiety all the more. Stores were being empty. We ran out of toilet paper. This was a chaotic several months. All happened in just a few weeks. No one knew that going into 2020. Who's to say what will happen in 2025? You don't know. That was just a few years ago, and a few years before then was what we call the global financial crisis. From 2007 to 2009, particularly on a special day in September 15th, 2008, was the day when many families throughout the U.S. lost their income and lost the equity on their home. all in the same day. They went to bed the previous night not having any idea what would happen the very next day. Who's to say what will happen tomorrow? We live in a land of a lot of surplus, even beyond the recent events of chaos and crisis. But we still live in a lot of surplus enough to where we're convinced into this idea that a season of scarcity is somehow beyond us. But is it? Maybe you're here this morning and you're already in a crisis of your own. I don't know what it might look like. A season of scarcity doesn't have to be just wealth. It could be a scarcity of relationships, a scarcity of depression, a scarcity of a stable environment, a scarcity of health, a scarcity of time. What do you do in the season of scarcity? And if you're not there yet, how do you know what you will do in the season of scarcity? The title of my sermon is The God of All Seasons. Because the unique thing about being a Christian is that we believe that God is above all of this. Whether you're in a season of scarcity or a season of surplus, we believe that God is above it all. And Deuteronomy chapter 8 speaks to both groups of people. Whether you're in a season of scarcity right now, or you're in some kind of a season of surplus, Deuteronomy 8 has the same message for us all. And I hope you don't miss this. It's going to teach us this morning that regardless of your season, remember your need for God. There's two simple parts to chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, and it's speaking to the two different groups. In the first 10 verses, it's going to speak to those in the season of scarcity. And then in verses 11 through 20, it's going to speak to those in the season of surplus. But before we jump into chapter 8, it might be helpful to get a little bit of context to know what's going on here. The book of Deuteronomy, if you don't know, is a book where Moses, the leader of the people of Israel, is speaking to the people of Israel at a specific time in their history where they had gone through a wilderness where God had miraculously provided for them for 40 years. That's just after they were delivered from slavery in the hands of the superpower of their time in Egypt. And this is also at a time when they're on the cusp of entering the Promised Land. This land is amazing stuff, as you'll see here in this passage. So what does Moses have to say to the Israelites today? He wants them to remember their need for God. And he starts this out by having them look backward to God's provision so far to this point. And that is the reason for them to stay obedient. I mean, just look at the first couple verses. He says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not." This season of scarcity that the Israelites had been in, God had them go through the wilderness for a reason. He's showing them that he wanted them to learn how to trust God. He wanted to show them how that they can continue to stay as God's people, obedient to his law. Have you ever owned a pet that didn't know how to stay in wherever your property was? Like many cats or dogs, they have everything they need. The food, water, shelter. They even have love and attention. But somehow they forget they have all they need and believe in themselves that they have to go and explore the rest of the world. You should ask the rotation of chihuahuas I grew up with that thought that they could explore the world and be fine, forgetting just how good they had it at home. And they were reminded very quickly when the coyotes got them. But it's a bit similar to how it is with the people of Israel. God's people were told to stay. But how? What does that mean? The law. The law of God was given to them for the purpose to stay as God's people. There's a lot of crazy things that as 21st century Westerners have a hard time reading through the law. But just look at verse 1. What is the reason for the law? The whole commandment that I command you today shall you shall be careful to do. Why? That you may live and multiply. The first thing you should know is that God's law, even for the people of Israel, was for that they could live and stay underneath God's protection, underneath God's provision. Could it be that your season of scarcity is here to show you your ultimate need for God? Could it be that a scarcity of maybe it's wealth, or maybe it's not that, maybe it's your health? Could it be that heartache or a lack of peace or a lack of friendships might just be a way for God to show you your need for Him? Just look at verse 3. He says that He humbled the Israelites, and He even let them hunger. But that's not all. He fed them with manna, which, by the way, is this weird thing that they picked up in the ground of the desert. No one knew where it came from. No one knew how to replicate it. It was just a sheer miracle that they survived 40 years in the wilderness. And Moses is telling them to look backward. During this time, in their season of scarcity, for their need for God, nothing's changed for them. They are still the people of God, and they still need God just as much, whatever season that they are in. So he has them look backward for a reason, and it's the same thing. Even Jesus believed that his Father was all he needed. When he had his own season of scarcity, when he was 40 days in the wilderness himself, fasting, and that was then when the devil came to him and tempted him to make his own food, turn the stones into bread. What did he do? He quoted what you see here. You might be familiar with this. He said to the devil, "Man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Are you serious? I mean, have you ever gone without food for a little while? It's horrible. The aching in your body is terrible. Your energy's drained. You don't want to do anything. You just want to sit there. Now imagine doing that for 40 days. I can't imagine how anything could be more important than finding yourself food. But according to Jesus, the first and most important need he had was staying under the provision of his Father. And rightfully so, because he went not just without food, but also without water for 40 days, which some of you are medical students or in the medical field, that's impossible. That you can't do that. It's miraculous. Miraculous just like manna in the wilderness. Look backward in your own life. You might have a season of scarcity or two to look back to. And you can even see how God has miraculously provided. I mean, you're here at this point. God has done something in your life, has He not? And as you look backward, that is reason for you to stay as God's people. It's reason for you to trust God. The season of scarcity is here, when it is here, so you can learn to trust God. And Moses continues speaking to the people in the season of scarcity by saying, okay, you look backward, but also look forward to God's promise. And that is also a reason to stay obedient. In verse 6 and 7, look at how the relationship is between obedience and looking at God's promise. It says, so you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and streams flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of many great things. God likes to give good things. He even wants to give good things. But why doesn't he just give good things all the time? Why? Well, ask the tree. Why is there a winter season? Wouldn't it just be better off if he had a permanent springtime? Is it necessary to have winter season? And that's actually missing the point. Winter season, if you didn't know, is actually necessary for trees in our climate. It's a time of the year for trees to be able to strengthen their bark, build up endurance, and kill off the pests to enable them for growth the next year. If we were in a perpetual season of surplus, we would be overwhelmed with the pest of forgetfulness. It's a pretty similar reason why, if you're a parent, you probably don't give your kid everything he wants. That's what God calls himself to the people of Israel. He says, I'm your father and I discipline you because I love you. I allow you to go through seasons of scarcity so you can learn how to live and how to multiply. You can learn to trust me as your provider. Trust me as your protector. Remember your need for God. As we're talking about obedience, does that mean that obedience is the way we earn ourselves good things for God? Well, according to Deuteronomy, it was not the way, even for the people of Israel, that they would earn good things from God. Just look at the following chapter. If you flip maybe a page, chapter 9, verse 6 will show you it's not because of their obedience that they earn these, or that they have the good promise of the promised land. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people. So why is God giving good things to a stubborn people? Because he's gracious. He is a good God to his people, and he wants to give good things. But the season of scarcity exists so that you may learn how to trust him, with him as the God who provides things like food. That's what God wants us to know and to do, to trust him. Don't trust in your ways to gain food, your ways to gain friends, or whatever it is to plug the holes in your life. Trust the God who provides for all of those things. So the Israelites were told in their season of scarcity to look backward to how God has delivered them from slavery and led up to this point. He was also telling them to look forward to the promised land. But, and that's why they should stay obedient. But we don't have Egyptian slavery, at least not that kind of Egyptian slavery going on today. And we don't have that promised land. But we actually have something much better. God has, if you believe in Jesus, God has saved you from your slavery to sin, which kills both body and soul. And more than that, we have a promised land of heaven, which is a land that has no scarcity of food. There's a lot of food. A land that has no scarcity of health because God is the one who grants eternal life. No scarcity of relationships because God is the one, is he not, who reconciles all and has all come together in harmony. There's no scarcity of peace because God is the Prince of Peace. And that is your peace. That is your promised land. How much more of a reason do you have to stay as God's people? How much more reason do you have to be obedient to what he has for you? If you're not a believer today, wouldn't your life be so much better off having a God like this? The God that can provide for you no matter the season. The God of all seasons. Even if you had a season of scarcity, you can trust his provision. Wouldn't it be nice, like if there was a God, wouldn't this the God that you would want to exist? The point of the season of scarcity is to help you learn your need for God. But what if right now you're sitting here and you say, well, I'm doing pretty fine right now. I don't have many needs. Not at the moment. Well, the point is still the same. Remember your need for God. I get this from starting in verse 11. It says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes. Once again, there's a connection between remembering and obedience. Which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then in your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. If you're in a season of surplus, do not forget the God who got you there. Do not forget your need for God. This is the same reason why Jesus tells us that it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's not that wealth is inherently evil, it's that wealth is inherently dangerous. If you're not careful, wealth and surplus lead you to forgetting God. Now, these things are good things. And again, they're actually gifts from God according to Deuteronomy 8. He wants to give us these things. But the whole point here is, be careful. When you have the season of surplus, when you have a good thing in your life, good relationships, don't forget that God is the God you needed this whole time. And he's the one who's provided it anyway. If you're not careful, you will forget in your season of surplus. And this is actually what we call pride. According to verse 17, look at how forgetting your need for God seems to just turn into prideful self-dependence. It says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It doesn't have to be just money. Once again, this is a season of surplus that could be many things. For one, maybe it's career success. If you're on the bottom of your career, it's really easy to know your need for God, to be praying. But the moment you get promotions, raises, attention, respect in your work environment, isn't it a little too easy to forget that God is the provider here? Isn't it a little too easy to start pointing to yourself as the reason you are doing so well in your job? And it's true, God has gifted you with good gifts. Maybe you are good at your job for a reason, but that's the point. God is the giver of gifts, even if it is a gift in your career. Or maybe, I don't know, this isn't as much me, but if you have a season of surplus in some kind of fitness, maybe you have a fitness goal, maybe you want to be really good at a sport. If you are really good at a sport, isn't it a little too easy to point to yourself and take pride in that? Or maybe it's a goal for running, maybe it's a goal for benching a certain amount of weight. Easy to forget the God who has given you the strength. The God who both gives you these things, but also the God who can take away these things.
Should I turn off?
These are good things. Don't want to undermine the good gifts in your life.
Turn it off.
And if you have a good gift, a surplus of any kind, praise God. That's the point. Praise God. Don't forget, it's God who gives you those things. They're good things, but they do come at a risk of forgetting. It doesn't end with pride. It actually keeps going. Look at how pride then turns into idolatry in verse 19. It says, "And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you that you shall surely perish." It's pride that leads them to believe they don't need God, and then it's idolatry that leads them to believe they need a different God. Isn't this pretty similar to how it works today? It's pride that might lead you to believe you're the reason for your career success, and it's idolatry that will lead you to believe you need to do everything possible to keep your career succeeding. You start orienting your life around it. Losing time for others and God. Because this is now your pride. This is now your importance. Remember your need for God, even in your season of surplus. Beware of this kind of idolatry, or else you'll look like someone who has no idea who God is. And that's the whole privilege of being a Christian, is that we are provided for no matter what. We have the God of all seasons. But do you really live that out? Or do you live as though you need those surpluses more than you need God? Even if you aren't a believer, could you really trust in a surplus of some kind to give you all of your needs? Let's just say you're here this morning, you have an abundance of wealth. Can that really provide all of your needs? Can it provide friends for you? You might have friends because of your money, but those, the quality friends, really meeting your relational needs. They say money doesn't buy happiness. Can one season of surplus buy you health? Maybe you'll get better health care when you need it, but is it really going to stabilize your health in crisis? Not the way God can provide for all of your needs, not just one. And even if you do have a specific season of surplus, could you expect and guarantee it will still be there tomorrow? We've seen this before. The world turns upside down a little quicker than you might think. And that's the point of looking backward. To see how God works, whatever the season is, whether it's scarcity or surplus, we can trust Him. Don't forget that whatever you have fluctuates. But the only one that doesn't fluctuate is God. The one who promises providence. And that's just the good thing about the God of all seasons. If you put your trust in Him, you know you will be provided for, no matter what season you're in. Whether you're in the season of scarcity or the season of surplus, remember your need for Him. And that means whether you have a scarcity of health or a surplus of health, remember, it's God who gives us life now and eternal life in the future. Whether you have a scarcity of wealth or a surplus of wealth, remember, it's God who gives all good things in the first place, isn't it? Whether you have a scarcity of friendships or a surplus of friendships, remember, it's God who is the God of reconciliation and relational peace. Whether you have a scarcity of internal peace or a surplus of internal peace, remember, it's God who grants you stability in your life. So what do you do in the season of scarcity? Remember your need for God. What do you do if you're in the season of surplus? Again, remember your need for God. If you are not a believer today, is there any better place to put your trust? But if you are a believer, remember your need for the God of all seasons. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good God that you are, the God who provides. You've given us so much at this point in our lives. Would you help us, grant us good memory? We confess it's so easy to forget all the things that you have done for us, so easy to forget that you're the one who gives us good things. Help us to remember that we might stay. Help us to remember that we might obey and trust you. Help those of us who have some kind of a scarcity, God, to look to you. Looking backward on what you have done, but looking forward on what you promise. And help those of us who are not in a season of scarcity to remember, because it is oh so easy to forget our need for you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.